Good evening. It's very nice to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I've been at Emmanuel Baptist Mission now for 23 years. I came there in 1996. I was asked to join the program, and I said, nah, I don't need a program. Programs don't work. I'd been saved for a couple of years, but I was still struggling. I had a terrible drug addiction back in those days. But I heard the Word of God differently than I'd ever heard, even though I was a Christian and I had the Holy Spirit living in me. And so that way I could really appreciate when I heard. I didn't really know about fundamental Baptist preaching and teaching. And when I heard the Bible opened the way I heard it, my mind just exploded. And that was the end of my drugs. And that was 23 years ago. I thank God for that mission. Now, I didn't go to Bible college. I went to the University of Hawaii. That's a big difference. Not a Bible college by any stretch of the imagination. It's pretty much a party school. But what I realized is that the Lord used the sin that was in my life to actually put me where He wanted me to be in the first place. This is where He wanted me to be and to grow. And I never, ever thought that I would end up being the director of that mission. When I came there, I was the last guy on the totem pole, as it were. And as time went by, things just changed. Now, Emmanuel Baptist Mission is on the corner of 5th and Crocker, and it's known as the Bottoms, even to downtown, even to Skid Row. It's like, how low can you go? That's about it. You're at the end of the road. But it's a beacon there. It's a light that shines in a very, very, very dark area of town. I have a brochure here, and I used to try to remember all these things. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just like to read portions of it, which will help you and help me. Emmanuel Baptist Rescue Mission has been a beacon of the gospel in the heart of Skid Row, Los Angeles, and downtown Los Angeles since 1953. And since its founding, the mission has served over 3 million meals, and it's more now, has provided physical rest and refuge to tens of thousands of homeless people. More importantly, Emmanuel Baptist Rescue Mission has provided a gospel witness to hundreds of thousands of homeless men and women whom society has marginalized and written off. Many of these people have had their sins forgiven, their hearts changed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, have gone on to serve the Lord in various churches and ministries. Now, like I said, I wasn't saved there, but I'm one of these people that my life was changed there. And I've been able to serve the Lord, and I'm so thankful. I have two children who live in Hawaii. They were born in Hawaii. We moved from Hawaii to Los Angeles because I was a former radio announcer, and that's why I came to L.A. I wanted to come to the big time. So, and this place, this L.A. is really, really a sinful place. I was in a very sinful occupation, career. But through it all, I ended up losing everything because of sin. And like I said, I got saved a couple of years before I got to the mission, but it was the light of that place. It's incredible. It's really incredible. The Lord really lives here. It's called Emmanuel Baptist Mission. Emmanuel means God with us. And God is really there. We're the little small guys. You know, there's the biggest mission in the country is the Union Rescue Mission. Big, big mission. We have the Los Angeles Mission right down the street. This mission is funded by so many people in Hollywood. They have so much money. You got the Midnight Mission. They are funded by Masons. There's just a lot of money. And we make it month to month. The only funding, and we don't get any government funding. It's month to month, month to month. But you know, God has blessed us. We pay our bills. Our lights are still on. The water still runs. We eat. You can see I'm not dying of hunger. So it's really a blessing, and we see people saved. We have a program, a Bible program there. I went through the program, and then I ended up on staff, and that's what happens still. There's some men who leave. There's some who stay, and those who stay become interns. And then if an intern time is like they look at us and we look at them, do you really want to be a part? Because you're not going to make a lot of money. You can go someplace else, and if you want to get rich, this is not the place. If you want to serve the Lord, this is the place. And so they see if they want to stay, and we see if we want them to stay. That's what internship is all about. But we feed the hungry. Emmanuel Baptist Rescue Mission currently provides approximately 5,000 delicious and nutritious, we have wonderful cooks, meals a month. We have homes, but beds for homeless men. We do not have a women's ministry, so we don't have beds for women, but we do have beds for men. Now, I want to explain to you, I'm not winking at you, my eye thing. I had meningitis about 15 years ago now. Well, yeah, about 15 years ago. And I was like unconscious. They found me. It was the Lord working in my life again to show me his power and his love and his majesty. And when I woke up, I realized had I died, I would have gone to heaven. And that was a new sensation. And that I wasn't afraid. I was smiling. I was happy. And so the only thing that, the only remnant that I have is my eye has this involuntary, it opens and closes when it likes. You know, I think maybe that's a thorn in the flesh, borrowing from Paul, who had a thorn in his flesh. And Paul thought it was so that maybe he wouldn't be so exalted. Well, maybe that's me too. You know, I don't know why. But all I know is that I went to the doctor about this, and I said, well, what is this? What can be done? And the only thing the doctor said is, I've never seen anything like that before. So that was the end of that. So, I'm not winking. All right. We clothe. We give out clothing articles. As the pastor was talking about, people bring down clothing, and we distribute clothing to needy men. We have places that we take women's clothes. We ask not to have women's clothes, but we get women's clothes anyway. And so we have places that we can pass them on. So if you feel led to give us some women's clothes, we'll take them. But we do have a place where we can pass them on. I don't know what else to say about the mission, except that it's a wonderful place, and I've been there for 23 years. He was talking about his father-in-law, Pastor Doyle, who's one of the board members, and he was saying, well, we hope you stay here until you're 90. And I'm like, you know, I'd like to have a few years away from Skid Row, but that may never happen. I don't know. Maybe the Lord wants me to stay there till I'm 90, if I live that long. I don't know, but I thank God for the opportunity to be here tonight. If you would, there's another part of my testimony is before I got saved, I had a thing in my life where I thought that I would never bow down to anybody, ever. Well, I'll tell you why, because I was raised by a very mean stepfather. And I was afraid of him as a boy. And as I got older and bigger, he died when I was 18. I never got a chance to punch him out. I hate to say that, but that's really how I felt. And so I said to myself, you know, I'll never bow down to anybody again in my life, even God. Now, that's a dumb thing to say. But then I remember one night, I didn't get saved that night, but I knew that there was a God. I was raised in a Baptist church. I always knew that there was a God. I believed the stories that I heard in church. I believed there was a Jesus, only I had no relationship with Jesus. I just believed in God. I wanted to see God one day. I wanted to hear his voice. And so this particular night, I got on my knees and I begged God. I said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. The life that I was living, And I ask him to help me. Lord, help me. Now, this is these are three words that need to be uttered by so many people on Skid Row. They will not ask the Lord to help them. There are men who come into the mission, and they tell us, hey, I don't need that. I'm my own man. I totally understand that, how they feel. But that's, the Bible has says that a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You're not going to bow down to God? The Bible says bow to no man. He does say that we need to obey those that have the authority over us. That's a completely different thing than bowing down. We bow before God. And we need to ask the Lord to help me. So this is a message. It's just a simple message that's very near to my heart. And so this is the one that I chose to bring tonight. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 15. I don't know if you stand when we read or you don't have to tonight. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, where it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Our Father, dear God, I pray that you help me today, this evening, Holy Spirit, that it would be you that speak, that you would show us the light of Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts. I know that I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but Lord, I do pray that you would bless us, that you would show us what you have for us tonight. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the first time, I believe, they say it's the only known occasion during his ministry that the Lord went outside the boundaries of Palestine. And he encountered this woman. And there's nothing that's an accident for the Lord. You know, when the woman at the well, he must needs go through Samaria. He knew that he had to do this. The woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, when he told her, I don't condemn thee, go and sin no more. Godly sorrow is what worketh repentance, not I'm sorry I got caught. And so Jesus is always seeking to save. And what we need to do is ask. The Bible says that we need to confess and we need to believe. So Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. And I tell people all the time, you have to ask the Lord for mercy. I'm my own man, doesn't cut it. I don't need Jesus. Yes, you do. And so people need to see this. And this is my message on Skid Row. This is something that everybody needs to know. Lord is the one who can help. He is the son of David. This woman knew who he was. And that's why she cried out to him. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, this was done because he says in the next verse in Matthew 15:24, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the reason this was the way it was, because God does things the way he promises. Now, the promise of the Messiah was to, as we know, to the children of Israel. And so, it's the Jew first, and then the Greek. That's the way it still is. And so, God came in the form of Jesus, and he came to seek and to save those which were lost. And he knew that there would be others that would be a part of salvation. In the book of Mark, chapter 7. Mark, chapter 7. This is speaking of the same incident, verse 24. It says, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He cannot be hid because he is Jesus. And there was an aura about him that, but also the Bible says that he was someone that you probably wouldn't really pay a lot of attention to. But if you did, you would see the light. The Bible says, for a certain woman in the next verse, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, sin is a terminal disease. It's something that will cause us to die. Physical separation from this body. The soul, the spirit leaves the body, and then the body goes back to the dust from whence it came. But it's only separation. We are made eternal. And that we will be. We are. And so where will we live when we pass from this earth? In heaven or in hell? This woman knew who Jesus was, and she was interceding for her daughter, who was grievously vexed with the devil. The Bible says that she was a woman, a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, I spoke about my addiction to drugs, and after I got saved, the Lord impressed upon my heart, every time that I did drugs, I was ingesting Satan. I think about the maniac of Gadara, and he had 2,000 demons. His name was Legion. And I wondered how many demons were inside of me. I wasn't foaming at the mouth, and I wasn't tearing things and all of this, but I wasn't right. There was something that was very, very, very wrong because of what I was doing, the way I was living. And so she asked the Lord to cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And that's the same thing I did that particular night when I said, Lord, help me. Now, I didn't get saved that night, as I said, because I did not ask Jesus. The Lord God, the Holy Spirit, drug me to the point of understanding who Jesus is and asking Jesus to be my Savior and asking Jesus to help me. Being convinced that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved, it wasn't just that I can't take this anymore, please take this pain away, take the sin away. And that's what's needed in our lives. And that's my life on Skid Row. When I pray and when I preach, I'm preaching and I'm begging people to confess your sins. Understand that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved. You can't be saved if you're not lost. There's so many people say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as I am good. And that's good enough for them. Or, I've never killed anybody. Now, that's the patent answer. I've never killed anybody, so therefore I'm going to heaven. No, that's not how it works. Going on, Mark chapter 7, verse 27. Jesus said unto this lady, let the children first be filled. And that's the way it was. Let the children first be filled. And then he said, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs, the bread of life. The dogs were the Gentiles who knew nothing about the living God. And God came to feed, Jesus Christ came to feed the children. And he said it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. In Mark chapter 7, verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. That's beautiful. See, how many of you have a dog who sits under your table and he goes from chair to chair waiting for somebody to drop something? That's the way dogs are. And this woman said that. Yes, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. She knew that what could be hers, even as a Gentile. She pointed to the millions of Gentiles that would later be blessed by Israel's Messiah. And Jesus said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Why was this? Because of faith. She knew that he could do it. She knew that he can do it. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. That's Mark 7:30. Now, there's a need in our lives when we should pray for others. I remember when I first got saved, someone said to me, you know, now, brother, you need to pray for other people, intercessory prayer. And my thought was, I can't even pray for myself. How can I pray for somebody else? It's necessary, though, to pray for other people. And now I find myself, I have to go, yes, Lord, and I have to ask him for something for me because I pray for other people. That's the main focus, is to pray for other people. And this woman who prayed for her daughter. And when we do this, when we pray, asking for mercy, asking for salvation, asking for health, asking for healing for somebody else, it draws us closer to God. It renews our faith when we truly believe that God can do this. Why am I on my knees praying for this if I don't believe it? It draws me closer to God and it strengthens our faith. And going on in Mark chapter 7, verse 31, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now he's going back home. And the Bible says they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Now I was deaf. I couldn't hear what the Lord was trying to say to me. I was blind. I couldn't see. I couldn't speak the words of God. Now, this is something physical, but all of us are born with a spiritual blindness, deafness. Our speech pattern is not right. We're all born that way. We are born with a sin nature. The first breath that we take, you don't teach children how to be selfish. You don't teach them how to lie. Did you eat that cookie?
No.
Chocolate all over their mouth. Who taught them that? It's the nature that we have. And so, Jesus healed these physical ailments. And when we realize that he can do that, he also heals our spiritual ailments. He took him aside from the multitude and put his finger in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Mark 7:34, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And it was done. What an amazing thing. I love to talk about how the Lord said, be opened to me. Just like that. You know, I didn't go to a rehab. Emmanuel Baptist Rescue Mission is not a drug program. We preach the gospel. We teach the Bible. There's no psychologist there. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. And just like that, he took it from me. And I'm 23 years clean. Now, the Bible says a man is haughty before fall. I cannot say, this will never happen again, but I know it won't, because I keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I won't stray. But if I am, and I know it's not me, it's Jesus. It's not me. If I look to me, I saw where me got me. But I also see where Jesus got me. Jesus said, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake again. That's an amazing thing. We should have unfailing trust in the Lord, knowing of his power, and that his will is done. What he wills is done. And that's a wonderful thought about who Jesus is. Now, his disciples, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, there were several Greek cities in Galilee that existed separately from the Jews. Now, the promise made to the Jews. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, God knows everything. It was not a surprise to Jesus the way people acted. But he did it decently and in order, the way God does things. So he told his disciples, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The man who paved the way for Jesus was John the Baptist. And he came with a doctrine that was very strange. It's called repentance. He preached repentance. It's not about the law. It's about repenting of your sins, realizing that you are a sinner and that you can't keep the law. Self-righteousness. People were so full of themselves because they were the chosen ones. They were to be the priests of the world. And yet, they weren't. In John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus says, praying to the Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, I set myself apart, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Bible says, what is truth? Thy word is truth. The truth is what makes us free. So many people misquote that. They say that the truth sets us free. If you're set free, you can be captured again. But if you're made free by Jesus, you're free indeed. You cannot lose your salvation. That is something that I preach over and over and over because there's so much fear in downtown Los Angeles. Because the temptation is so rampant there. So people come in and they hear a message and the seed is planted and they really want to walk in the light of Christ. They really want to do well. But then they go outside and there's a drug dealer right outside the door. And maybe they really did accept the Lord. Like myself, I was saved for 2 years, struggling. Because I really did accept the Lord, but the temptation was just so great. And it causes people to lose time. And sometimes people run out of time. There are people that I know who are saved, who were saved, who died doing things that they should not have done. Now, I'm not the judge. I'm not God. I don't know how that's going to work. But I do believe that they truly accepted the Lord as their Savior. But Jesus says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, the disciples, the people who preach the word of God. Jesus said, I pray not just for them, but for those who will hear their word and come to know the truth. Now, Romans chapter 15, verse 8. This is speaking about the children of Israel who were freed after 430 years of slavery, after 430 years of captivity. I don't know how old you were when you got saved, but you were freed. You had liberty. You were liberated from slavery, from being bound by sin. Now, this talks about, in Romans 15:8, it says, I'm ahead of myself. Romans 15:8 says this, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's why he came to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Now, when I preach, I use a lot of scripture because that's the way I learned it. That's the way it has to be on Skid Row. It's like spoon feeding. And so I apologize if maybe this is a bit redundant, but it's the way it has to be for where I am and what I do. And so I continue to say in Romans 15:12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now see, God knew all of this, that the Gentiles would come. I like it when he says, if you want to obey me, I can raise up these rocks to serve me. to me, that's my hard-hearted self. I was a rock that he raised up to serve him. If his people, his chosen ones, don't serve him, don't obey him, it was already understood who would, the Gentiles. The Bible says in Romans 3:29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. The circumcision by faith in what? Jesus. By understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. It's by that faith they will be saved. And the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, simply through faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't have all the roadblocks that the Jews had to get to Jesus. We simply didn't have all of that. It's simply by our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus cried out to the Jews, asking them, begging them to understand. And he said, I would have gathered you if you had only listened to me. But he is saying this in Matthew 23:38. These are the words of Jesus. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Why? Because there's no life. There's no spirit. There's no Holy Spirit. He says, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is Jesus who's come in the name of the Lord. Now, as I was about to get ahead of myself, and I did, this is what I wanted to relate to you, and then we're finished. The book of Numbers, if you turn there, Numbers chapter 14. The children were in bondage for 430 years. And then God led them out of Egypt. So many people, when they are saved, so many people that I deal with, want to go back to the world. They want to go back to drinking. They want to go back to smoking marijuana. They want to go back to doing whatever drug they were doing because they cannot stand doing otherwise. And the children of Israel were about the same. It wasn't drugs. It was just life. The way they wanted to live life, the way that they were used to living is what they wanted. That's why so many people go back to the world. The Bible says in Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why were they weeping? Because they couldn't understand what God was doing in their life. They were upset because they didn't have the comforts of slavery, comforts of sin. People want that. It's an amazing thing. I wanted it until I didn't want it. And I cried, Lord, help me. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Dangerous thing to murmur against a man of God. Murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. And would God we had died in the wilderness. Now, what kind of thinking is that? Oh, I wish we'd died. Here we're out here, free. I'm free. But I wish I was dead. Sometimes being human is... Anyway, Numbers 14:3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. What the Lord has promised is good. Why do we see bad in what God has promised? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is it about that that people don't understand? If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They couldn't hear. They couldn't see. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? You ever think about our wonderful country that we live in? How long will this people provoke me? Same-sex marriage, abortion. We're going to pay for that. We're going to pay for that. How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? The greatest country in the world, I still believe it. All the signs that I've showed among them. But he was talking to about the Jews. They had a pillar of cloud by day to cover them from the heat in the wilderness, in the desert. They had a pillar of fire by night. There was no city lights in those days so that they could see. They had manna from heaven, food that could give them sustenance. They had water, came out of rocks. And yet they couldn't understand this wonderfulness of being chosen by God. And they murmured and they complained against God. What I want is not necessarily what I need. God said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disherit them, will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. You know, I think about the parting of the Red Sea. And I keep thinking, wow, how could they not be in the debt of the Lord forever? But I forget about how we are as people. It's so easy to forget what God has done for us, how he has truly blessed us. And then one little thing happens, and we forget about that. We get stuck on the little things. And we forget about the big things. I'm on my way to heaven. If I get sick, well, you got to die with something. It's you know, people get upset. They get mad at God. And we need to understand that God is good. And God is not only good, he's good all the time. Not some of the time. Numbers 14:19 says, pardon, I beseech thee. This is Moses. The iniquity of this people. You know, a pastor is an angel. The Bible calls them angels in Revelation. A pastor is a wonderful thing. And I hope you appreciate and you love your pastor who prays for you. And you know what? He has God's ear. That's a good thing. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Numbers 14:20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. That's very key. I have pardoned according to thy word, because these people are murmuring and complaining, but Moses is praying for them. But the Lord said in Numbers 14:21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. And I still say that's what's going to happen in this country. As truly as I live, all of America will be filled with the glory of God. The things that are going on now will not go on forever. God's going to judge this nation. It's going to happen. And God bless America. I'm not anti-America. I'm anti-sin. Numbers 14:35. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. The Bible is to admonish us. These people were 11 days away from a land flowing with milk and honey. Yet they walked around and around and around for 40 years because they didn't believe God. All you have to do is believe God. Lord, help me. And then believe that he will. And don't think that he hasn't. Maybe you just can't see it. But he has already. In Psalm 145:18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Now, how can you fool God? God knows the heart. I tell people this. People come into the mission, and we preach to them, and they go through all this stuff like they got saved. I'm saying, listen, it's God who looks at your heart. And you don't have to pretend to me in order to eat. All we ask is that you sit and listen to a message, a gospel message, and really get saved. You don't have to pretend to get saved just so that you can eat. You have to call upon him in truth. There was a guy, he used to say to me, "I don't know if he's in heaven or not." He used to say, "I get saved every night." And I said, "Well, Brother Green, Mr. Green, you can't get saved every night. You only get saved once." "I get saved every night." And he was older than me, so, you know, I quit arguing with him. And maybe he is in heaven. I don't know. It's just the way his mind was. "I get saved every night." And I think he really did love the Lord. He just didn't get it. But all we need is to say, "Lord, help me," and to trust in Jesus Christ once. And that's it. Bible says in Psalm 145:19, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And once again, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." God sent his son to give life to the world. The Bible says that because we are the children and we are partakers of flesh and blood, that it behooved Jesus to become like us, to be in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to go through all the things to truly understand man. And he died. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that God died first. And he had a physical resurrection. So I look forward to that. If the trump were to sound right now, the dead in Christ would rise first, and then we would follow. Now, I don't know if I can explain that. I just believe it. I believe it with all my heart and soul. That Jesus Christ is God. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your help from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who will help us face another day. Gentle shepherd, come and feed us, for we need you to help us find our way. Our Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we pray that you bless us, lead us, feed us, guide us, and protect us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.